Genesis 1:26 and read that first verse. Then God said, let us make man in our image. And let's just go with that for a minute about the image of God. So actually, I want to, and if we look at the meaning of image, it's resemblance. We're a representative figure. Amen. We resemble God in every way. Like Charles Capps says, I'm a duplication of kind. Actually, there's a quote by him, I am a representative of God, made in his image, in his likeness. I resemble him in every way. That's why we have to look at the Bible, and if we're not resembling what's in the Word, then we've gotten away from what he's called us to. We've gotten away from his resemblance. Amen. Well, I'm glad you're excited about that. We're duplication of kind, aren't we? God created man after his likeness and the exact duplication in kind. Then what kind is God? Jesus said God is a spirit. You aren't God. You aren't equal with God in his divine attributes. But you are a spirit being under authority. You are able to partake of God's divine nature, righteousness. What did we say? Righteousness, because we've been made right. That's who we are. We are the healed of the Lord. We are the prospered of the Lord. We are forgiven, so we don't have to walk in condemnation. The only thing we've got to do is get it right if we've wronged. If you've sinned, if you've yielded to things that you know in your spirit is wrong, your heart will condemn you. But the Holy Spirit is convicting you to just make it right. Just get back up. And you might say, yeah, but I'm just going to turn right around and do it again. That's a mentality of sin consciousness. And if we have a mentality of sin consciousness, then we can say, Lord, forgive me. But then we are just always thinking about wanting to do that thing. But if we will say, Lord, I thank you for your help by the Holy Spirit in me, then we can cut off any addictive thing. I mean, we can have natural helps, you understand, but we can cut off any addictive thing. We can cut off any distraction. We can cut off any sinful living in our life, all from the help of our authority inside.
Yes, that's right.
Dominion inside. You mean you can use your dominion over sin? Absolutely. You can control these faculties because your spirit is to rule your body. Amen. So in Romans 8:28, actually, let's go back. Oh, this is wonderful. I love this scripture. Hebrews 1:1-4, and you can go there, and I'll start reading. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, did you get that? Being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. So Jesus is the Word. He is part of the Godhead. He is in the image of God, isn't he? And we're in that same image. Amen. Upholding all things by the word of his power. Notice that. By the word of his power, not the power in his word, but the word of his power, because his word and his power are one and the same. It's not just a little bit of power in the word, but it's his, the word of his power. And Jesus is the word, and Jesus came to the earth to restore man back to that power. Because it's synonymous terms, power, anointing, spirit, really the grace of God within us, sometimes used in different ways, the life of God. You can mean a quality of life, but we're talking about that life that's inside of us that actually brings that healing power working in our body and brings it out to every area of need. The word of his power. We're supposed to follow the example of speaking his word with power. Amen. So we also see in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Did you know that you have a purpose? I believe that part of your purpose is being involved with a solid local church that teaches the message of healing and prosperity and forgiveness and freedom from sin. Amen. That teaches you that that word, the Holy Ghost, lives inside of you. So his power lives inside of you. You could say the Spirit lives inside of you. You could say the anointing lives inside of you. And as you hear the word of God and you get revelation, you can use that authority and speak it out of your mouth. Or you just act on it by faith. But speaking is the primary action, isn't it? Yeah. So in Romans 8:28, we are assured and know that, actually I'm reading in the Amplified here, we are assured and know that God being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. You have a divine design. You have a divine purpose. Nothing, when you get up in the morning, nothing has happenstance, right? Nothing is just fate. And many people believe that. You know, I was reading a Facebook recently. It's a program that helps people. And I'm not sure. Anyway, I don't have to give the background of that. But people are looking for help. People are desperate. And I remember one lady talking about her 11-year-old girl that they didn't know what was wrong with her. And she showed a picture of her. She had bags under her eyes. And they had to have a special fan in her room because she's just always sweating. And she's just saying, can somebody help me? And I'm thinking to myself, we have the help. We've been designed. We have a plan. We have a purpose. That's why we have to understand the authority that's inside of us. If we can't help ourselves, how can we help others? And really, we can help ourselves and then forget helping others. Because there have been plenty of times I've been in faith and I've been dealing with symptoms or something like that. But God dealt with me. You're in faith. Now you go help somebody else. Right? I'm not waiting for the manifestation of something in my life before I'm going to go help other people. Because my faith says I am healed, so I'm going to go help others. I'm going to teach them this word. I know that they are going to get up. They're going to rise up when they get the revelation, if I'll be patient. Remember, you know, that child doesn't come out of the womb and just start running around the room?
That's right.
Yeah. So anyway, verse 29 in the Amplified, for those whom he foreknew, of whom he was aware and loved beforehand, he also destined from the beginning, foreordaining them to be molded into the image of his son. Molded. Sometimes it doesn't feel so good, does it? Sometimes there are things in our life, maybe there's a lump sticking out here, and God's molding us with his word. And as the word of God gets inside of it, see, any time that I'm struck with a situation or an emergency or something like that, what do? I go to the word. I get more of the word. Like Pastor Nancy says, I won't say that because I can't quote it just right. But anyway, we need knowledge. He was talking about we need knowledge of the word. So if you need help in an area and you're not seeing help, you need more knowledge. And that's what she was saying. You need more knowledge. Now, knowledge brings revelation. When you meditate on the knowledge of God's word, revelation comes. Understanding. See, I can see when the light bulb's going off over your head there. I can see you're getting things inside. It's like, oh, well, when that's happening, you're starting to see, hey, I can use this in this area of my life. I can use this in this area of my life. I can have better health. Again, there's no condemnation. But when we get the knowledge of God's word and it becomes revelation, we have an understanding. We start to see, because understanding and seeing something is really the same. You're seeing it in your heart. You're getting a revelation. Okay, I need help in this area. Don't live in sickness. Don't live in doubt and unbelief. Don't live in the world's diagnosis. I'm not saying don't go to the hospital, don't take medication, don't, you know, just be led with all of those things. I mean, my goal is to put God first and let His power first ultimately work in my life. And then if I need natural helps, my goal is to never take medication. But I don't condemn anybody for that. And yes, I've taken medication before in my life. But my goal is always to get off of it before it creates another problem. And then you get another medication to fix the one problem. Then you get another, and it's, well, it's a racket, moving right along. All right. Sometimes it'll help you, but realize we've got to put our focus on the healer. Yes. And as children, we're led by the Spirit of God, and He will show us what is the best strategy. What's the best course of action, right? Yeah, so we're made in His likeness that He might become the firstborn among many brethren, talking about Jesus. And those whom He thus foreordained, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. Now, the word justified means made righteous. He justified, acquitted, made righteous, putting them into right standing with Himself. And those whom He justified, He also glorified, raising them to a heavenly dignity and condition or state of being. Wow. So we're raised together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I like to say it this way. That doesn't mean you're sitting up on a cloud with the scepter in your hand eating Cheetos. All right? So it's important that we know our authority. And it's not to just sit up on an air cloud and look out on everybody in our domain. All right? We are kings and priests, but that's not what it means. It means that we're supposed to use that authority in our own life to change circumstances, to bring help, whatever we need. We are to rule and reign. And really, the enemy was not. He's become the god of this world. But in our domain, he was booted out. In other words, we've been made the god of this world in Christ. Adam was the God of that garden. God gave him everything he needed. And he said, go and replenish and fill the earth. Use your authority. Tend, guard this garden. How many know he didn't guard it? He allowed the enemy in there. He should have booted him out. So we're not supposed to have long conversations with the devil and be listening to his lies. Always take him back to the word and say, shut up. If you don't know how to read, here you go. Amen. So we're made in His likeness, aren't we? Now, let's move on over to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. If you'd like to get a drink, I think I'll get one. Wake up, Lorenzo. Oh, he's so much fun to tease, I guess. I don't know. It's all in good fun. Took a drink of your coffee there, of your Java. Okay. So Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So I brought this out the other day in Cedar Rapids, but I'll say it here. Breath of life, and that word life, it actually means living being. So God breathed the spirit of a living being into Adam. He breathed his spirit, and that was the new creation, because the dirt that was formed, it wasn't a new creation. He had already made the dirt. That's right. So the new creation was the Holy Spirit. Amen. That he formed inside of Adam, and that gave him sonship, and that gave him authority. And that made him righteous. In order to use that authority. Amen. He became a new creature. And we could say in Christ, Adam was in God. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Well, we are in Christ. We are in God, aren't we?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So let's, I'm trying to think which way we'll go here. In the Amplified, let's read it there. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath or spirit of life, and man became a living being. And then let's go on over to verse 15, because I just want to bring this out. We just said this. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. So that word keep means to guard it. And he didn't guard his garden. He let the enemy come in there and talk him out of things. So don't listen to the devil's lies. You tell him to get out of your garden. Amen. Now I want you to go to Romans chapter 4, because we're going to switch up just a little bit. Romans chapter 4. So we're to follow God's mode of operation, and we know that he spoke out of his heart. And we know that God has no doubt and unbelief in him. Of course he believed and he spoke, right? And we're to follow that mode of operation. But notice Abraham. And we've talked about Abraham, but we're going to talk a little bit more about this. And I don't know if you watched the last, maybe two Sundays ago when I ministered at Spirit of Faith, but we talked more about this. So I just want to go over it a little bit. Notice Adam was the father of our faith. And let's read here in Romans 4, verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works or made righteous by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted or credited to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. Notice something. He had been credited as a righteous man. But it was because he heard the word and he did what the word said. But it wasn't because he was a new creation. He did not have sonship. But he was our father, and we're supposed to follow the mode of operation. What did he do? He followed God, and he called things that be not as though they were. What be not in your life? Do you need healing in your life? Well, I thought you said, I am healed. Right, call yourself healed. Because if it be not, in other words, if you don't feel it, don't focus on what you don't feel, or don't focus on the symptoms you're dealing with. Start calling your body what it really is, because you have authority to do so. What do you mean? Where did I get that authority? You've been made right. It has been accounted to us for righteousness. Why? Because we are in Christ. So Abraham was a father of faith. What were we to follow? Hearing the word and speaking it. Remember, God changed Abraham's name. It was Abram, a father. And then he changed it to Abraham, a father of many nations. And then Sarah, or Sarai, I believe there's a couple different meanings there, but I think it meant princess. And then Sarah meant prince of many, or princess of many, something along that line. But it meant that they were going to have children, and that those children would go and do likewise. And we're supposed to follow the example of our father. Well, our father God, right? But the example of our natural father Abraham, because we came from his lineage, right? So, but he was not a son. He was not a new creation, because Adam had lost his sonship when he sinned. He had lost the life of God. He had lost the authority that was inside of him. So what did God do? He was able to talk to his man, teach his man to say what he was saying. But God had to use his authority for man. We use our authority. As a new creation in Christ, we use our authority. But we use it by faith. So we follow Abraham's faith, don't we? Right. So anyway, it says in verse 13, Romans chapter 4, verse 13, for the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. And I want to read something here that I wrote out. Abraham was not a child of God. His right standing with God came through faith in God that opened the door for God to move by his power. We have been restored to sonship in Christ. So we are righteous on the inside. But for that righteousness to work for us, we must bring it out and believe and speak. And the power of God within works for us. The power of God worked for Abraham, and he was an example of speaking faith like God, but he still did not have the same authority that we have in Christ. So in other words, it worked for him, but God had to use his authority.
Yeah, right.
Right? He is an example. Abraham is an example, our father of faith, but not an example of a new creation, speaking faith from the word of God's power within. So we've got to understand, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, but it's much more than that. It's the word of his power that lives inside of us. And when we hear the word, we get revelation, and then that power of God inside, then we speak it out. Abraham was not able to speak it out of a power that was within him. And he wasn't able to rule his circumstances with his own faith, so to speak. God had to use his faith, his authority. Abraham had faith in God to do it for him. Right? But God has given us the ability. And too many people are waiting for God to do something. It's kind of like that chess match. Where you're sitting there and you're looking out the window and you didn't realize the other guy made the move. And you're waiting around. It's like, when are you going to move? He's like, I already moved.
Yeah. Yeah.
God already made his move.
Yeah.
We are restored to new life in Christ. We've been made new.
Yeah.
We've been given authority. Why? Because we are righteous. We are the healed of the Lord. We are the blessed of the Lord. We don't have to actually call God up and say, God, help. I mean, I've done it before, but really somebody that's begging God help doesn't understand their authority, doesn't understand he's already helped us. He's already given us everything in Christ. And yes, we can come to God and say, Lord, I need help in this area. He said, if you ask your father a gift, is he going to give you a scorpion or a stone? Or I think there's a couple different translations there. Or scriptures that says, God isn't going to give us a stone. He allows us to come ask. We've talked about that word ask. It means ask, call for, or require. There in John 14. But then we go over to John 16. And it talks about ask, call for, or require. We can ask the Father, or we can just require it. Why? Because we have authority. Remember Jesus at that mountain? And he said, remember, they passed by the fig tree and it had dried up from the roots, because the day before Jesus cursed that fig tree when it didn't produce any figs. He was hungry and it didn't produce any figs. So he cursed it and said, let man not eat from you again, or something like that. Well, anyway, so the next day they were walking by and that fig tree had dried up from the roots. So Jesus said there in Mark 11, starting in 22, have faith in God. Or have the God kind of faith. Did you know it's God's faith?
Oh, yeah. Come on.
But he put it in you. Did you know it's God's authority?
Come on.
But he put it in you. Because we are a son. It's not my power. It's not my authority. It's not my faith. Everything I have has been given by God. But I am a carrier. And he expects me to use it.
That's right.
He expects me to use the God kind of faith. He expects me to speak what I believe in his word. So Jesus said, and you understand that there were mountains in the background. He said, whosoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he will say, he will have whatever he says.
Right.
Notice it emphasizes the saying three times. Believe it and say it. Pastor Debbie, I've been knowing this for some time. Well, look at your life. Is it producing? Because all of us need to keep hearing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. We have not arrived. but we are becoming more skilled in who we are. And I'm more convinced today that this message, I'm like, Lord, I need revelation of this. I need to emphasize, I need to preach and teach the authority of the believer. Because the enemy is trying to come in our food and in the things around us, in our atmosphere and whatever. Like one person says in the 1970s or 1980s, biological warfare, they put Lyme disease and mosquitoes and this. Well, I don't doubt that. They may have. But how many know we've got the authority over Lyme disease? We've got, you know, when you're living in the Midwest, you sometimes find out about that. We had a brother who had Lyme disease, and it really brought him down quick. But he's a Christian, and he got help. God led him to some natural, treatment as well. But how many know that there's so many things that the enemy has twisted because he's the God of this world, unless you're in Christ? So there are things that unless we take control and take it back from his hand, that it's going to affect us.
That's right.
Amen. Well, that was all free. That was all free. So let me read this. It is because of this righteousness in Christ that we are in authority to walk in our redemptive rights and privileges. We are forgiven, healed, free, prospered. We're saved. What does saved mean? Saved from anything you need to be saved from. Romans 1:16-17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. It is written, the just shall live by faith. Notice something, it's been revealed. So we are to be demonstrators of righteousness. In other words, we need to reveal it. We need to demonstrate it in our own lives. Don't stay the same. Keep on growing. Your righteousness can't grow. What do you mean? In other words, it's a staple. Righteousness is who you are. You have made righteous. Healed is who you are. You can't get any more healed today or next week than you are today. You're prospered. Well, I don't understand that, Pastor Debbie, because I need more stuff. I understand that. But as we get skilled as a farmer of prosperity, as we're tithers, as we're obedient to God's word, as we are givers, right? As we are led by the Spirit of God, and then we use our faith and speak over that, and we commission our angels to go and bring in what we need. And then we go our way thanking God. That is using our faith from faith to faith, skill to skill. Using our faith. Pastor Jay and I have more increase today than we did 10 years ago. We have more increase today. We are living in the years of empowered to prosper. Because of all of the times that we've given. But it wasn't just that we gave. We used our faith. When I give seed, I thank God that it's brought back, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Amen. And I don't put prosperity first. We don't put homes and goods and cars and things like that first. Everything is about the kingdom of God. And any time that God's got to get me, my eyes back on that, I let him. I know you've arrived, and he doesn't ever have to get you out of distraction or disobedience or anything like that. Anytime that he's got to enlighten my eyes, and I pray for that daily. And then, oh, Lord, help me. I know I got distracted. Yeah. I know, Lord, I wasn't using wisdom. I didn't like to sleep, but now my confession is sleep is nice. Sleep is sweet. I was just always one of those that liked to be the latest up. Anyway, moving right along. So we bear fruit by believing our right standing with God and therefore using our authority in faith. Right? 1 Thessalonians 4:3-4. 1 Thessalonians, my tongue didn't want to say that. Verse 3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. Well, what are you talking about this? I thought we were talking about being righteous. You know, just hold on there. Verse 4, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. See, I want you to understand what sanctification is. Sanctification is your righteousness from within coming on the outside. Many people don't understand sanctification. I'm sanctified and I'm filled with the Spirit. I understand that. But sanctification is something you've been separated.
Yes.
You're living a pure life.
Yes.
I know, Pastor Debbie, I need to do better. Well, we all need to do better. But let's just get up in the morning and give that to God and say, Father, because I'm righteous, I can do all things through Christ, and I have authority, and I use my authority today, and I command this body to do its duty, to be right. And I'm led by the Spirit, and you show me anything I need to change, I thank you that I am able to change it by your help.
Amen.
Don't put your two cents in there. Well, I know, but I've been doing this since 1942. The more you speak doubt and unbelief, the more you're going to get doubt and unbelief in your life. The more you speak doubt and unbelief, the more you're going to get the fruit of it in your life. But if you will just, you don't have to ask your body what it feels like. You don't have to ask the devil what he thinks about your day. And you just start proclaiming who you are in Christ, what you can do. What you have in Christ. You start proclaiming, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You work in me both to will and to do of your good pleasure. I thank you, Lord. If he reveals anything to you that's wrong, just get it right. By faith and say, Father, I thank you. I get this right. That was wrong. Now, Father, I thank you for your help not to yield to that anymore. And what do? You keep putting the word in your heart. Get filled up with the Word. Just meditate on the Word. Go put in a good CD of Pastor Jay or, you know, that redhead. I don't know if I'm redhead anymore. Pastor Debbie. I used to be a redhead. Anyway. You know, go listen to a good CD and get built up in who you are in Christ. Go to the YouTube Eberle Ministries and you can listen. There's some powerful messages from Pastor Jay and Pastor Craig and Pastor Ike Akabogu in Africa about believing and speaking who you are. Powerful, powerful messages. So anyway, in the Amplified, 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God that you should be consecrated, separated and set apart for pure and holy living, that you should abstain and shrink from all sexual vice. And it moves on there. Now, Romans 3:21. Actually, I'm not going to go there. I want to go back very quickly, and we're going to end with this because I know it's been a long day for some of you. But in Genesis, let's go back. Actually, you don't have to. That's where my note is, so that's why I'm going back. Anyway. My Goodreader program, I have notes in here, and that's where I put it. So, here we go. Let's recap just a little bit here. I want to read what Brother Capps said. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God did, created and made. God created some and made others. God created the earth, but he made man's body. He made it out of what he had already created. So we talked about this, but we want to say it again. Then he breathed life into that body, spirit life. The creation came when God breathed spirit life into Adam. The word spirit means wind or breath. God breathed his spirit into man, and man became an exact duplicate of God's kind. Well, we're just switching a little bit because I want to recap some things and have an understanding about our roots and why we became righteous. And notice in 1 Corinthians 15:22, it says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." So Adam was our brother. Adam had sonship. Now we talked about Abraham didn't have sonship, but Jesus came. The word of his power. He came to the earth and he basically, and he had the anointing, the Holy Ghost on him, and he ministered to the sick and he cast out devils and he got people free. He was the restoration. He was the second Adam that would come before we were restored in Christ. Before we would be restored and have the Holy Spirit living in us again in sonship. Before we could be righteous. Because in the Old Testament, notice, they weren't righteous. And that's why the law had to be inserted. Because they weren't righteous, so they needed something to help them to get through. Right? Until really, in Christ, and then they came out of purgatory. Right? Yeah. You understand? And I guess it's purgatory anyway. I guess I'll have to study that part. But anyway, you understand paradise. We won't go there because it's good that you don't talk about things that you haven't just researched on. But I do know that Adam Adam lost his sonship. Right. Remember, Abraham didn't have sonship because of that. But he wasn't able to go to heaven until Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And then he went to heaven, right? And all those in Christ are able to go to heaven now because if we believe in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and we believe it in our heart and speak it with our mouth, Romans 10, 9, and 10, then we're able to live in this authority, live in this sonship, and we have a home in heaven, right? So that was all free. 1 Corinthians 15:45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. In the Amplified, thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, an individual personality. The last Adam, Christ, became a life-giving spirit, restoring the dead to life. And we talked about how Christ means the anointed one. And he brought the anointing. Remember, and we talked about greater works, doing the greater works. We're supposed to follow Jesus' example. So we follow God's example. We follow Abraham's example of being a father of faith. And we are supposed to follow Jesus' example of taking the anointing to a dying world.
Absolutely.
And we can do the greater works in Christ. So there we go. We were recapping. So let me see if I'm going to read anything else there. So we know that in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, you don't have to go there, but if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And in the Amplified, I like to read that. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. And then we read it in the Living Bible. When someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. Yep. Phillips, for if a man is in Christ, he becomes a new person altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything has become fresh and new. Why don't you stand up? It's so important that we understand what our roots are. It's so important that we understand where we came from. Yes. It's so important that we understand what we have on the inside because many people in the church today have a limited view of who they are in Christ. They don't understand that they're the healed of the Lord. They don't understand that they're righteous. Yes. And would they dare even call themselves righteous because they feel condemned? Because a majority of the Christian and the church age today is living in sin consciousness.
Yes. Yes.
And if we're looking at what we can't do, if we're looking at where we've sinned, if we're looking at, then we're going to be living in condemnation, sin consciousness, rather than living with authority. It's like a man that goes in and he's lifting weights and he has all the muscles there. He's able to lift that, but he's worked out and he comes up to this one particular weight and the trainer says, you can lift that. How much have you lifted? Yeah, you can do that. You can get it about right here. And he trusts him. Because the trainer understands what he has. He understands what he's, you know, his skill level. How many know that if that man doesn't believe he can do it, it doesn't matter how many muscles he has. It doesn't matter how many times anything else he's lifted. If he doesn't listen to the trainer who's skilled and understands, we've got to get into the Word and find out what we have. We've got to get into the Word and find out what we can do, who we are in Christ. And when we find that out, we need to use our faith muscles. And we need to pick it up. And we need to fulfill God's plan and His purpose and preach and teach Jesus to a dying world. Amen? Why don't you bow your heads right now? Father, we thank You. We worship You. We thank You for revelation of Your Word. We thank You, Father, for helping us to not just hear this Word, but to act on it, to use it in our lives, to be the new creation that we are, to walk new in Christ as we are, to walk in health and healing as we are, to walk in blessing and freedom in every area of our lives. Father, I ask for everyone in this room that they would have, and even over the live stream, they would have an understanding of who they are in Christ and be able to walk that out and reach out and take the message to others all over the world. And we thank You for it. We thank You for it. And I just want you to keep your head bowed there for a minute. And if you're living in condemnation of what you've done wrong, if you're living about in sin consciousness and just thinking about the next thing you're going to do wrong, I would encourage you to just lay that down. The new commandment is to believe and to love one another. If there's anyone that you're not walking in love with, I would just encourage you to lay that down by faith and say, Father, I'm sorry. I've been walking in love. And if you need to call somebody and get it right, just do that after the service. But let's stop living in condemnation. Let's stop living in sin consciousness. And let's take up our rightful rights and privileges in Christ and walk out who we are by believing it, by saying it, and saying it, and worshiping God, and thanking Him throughout our day. Thank You, Father.